welcome to another Hoops HD preseason podcast where we're going to be focusing tonight on the Big Ten. A few days late, we had a little some technical difficulties last week getting this podcast done, but we are here. We are going to be previewing the Big Ten right now, and let me start by introducing our cast of characters. And he's already mumbling over there, so let's start down at the very end with David Griggs.
Woohoo!
David, how are you tonight?
Oh, I'm great. And, I mean, we're talking Big Ten tonight, which means we're talking Nebraska. We're talking 10 miles, and if we have time, we'll touch on the other 13 teams. I do have a question for you, Chad. Last Wednesday evening, October 29th, what is it that you were doing that evening?
David, what were you and I both doing it that no one else in the nation was watching the first preseason, a stream of the first open preseason game between Southeastern Louisiana and a NAIA school from LSU Alexandria that totally crushed them, actually. Looked pretty good.
Yes.
So whatever you want to do an NAIA show, we're going to be talking a lot of LSU Alexandria at that point.
Right.
David, tell us about that little bit about that pod, that video cast that we were watching as well.
Well, there was no graphics, there was no sound. The arena was empty, and the cameraman chose the worst seat in the empty arena to show the game from. It was ridiculous. And I think we'll get to the Big Ten here in a second for real, but I think it was the worst thing I've ever seen in my entire life. It was the worst production ever. Had I shown up with my phone, I would have given a better production. At least it would have had graphics.
We may have to work on that for some of these exhibition games next year, or maybe even as we go ahead this season, getting David Griggs there to actually broadcast it with his phone. But
well, they wouldn't have thrown me out of this one because there would have been no one else left.
Let's introduce the rest of the cast here before we go any further. David, right next to you, we've got Joby coming in with his Pit Crew headphones this week, so we don't have that feedback problem we had last time. Joby, how are you?
What'd you say? me? Okay. Looking for Big Ten. Great night.
We've also got both Johns back, starting with John S. John, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing well. In some ways, it goes back to my own personal roots, having grown up in the heart of Ohio State country in Columbus. So we'll be getting to them a little bit later tonight.
Talking about roots, I'm also in Big Ten country here in New Jersey, as we've been discussed for the last few years, although we are not going to be discussing my team for some reason. I don't know why. But last but definitely not least, we have John Titel back with us again. John's been posting some great interviews. If you haven't been reading them, I think Tony Bennett just went up today, which was one of the better interviews I've seen of him for in a while. John, how are you?
Good. It's nice to be in Big Ten country now that College Park is only a subway ride away from D.C.
In fact, I was just in that ballpark there last night myself. I was down in D.C. and didn't get over to College Park, so I didn't get to get into that portion of Big Ten country there.
You missed the burning couches, Chad. It was very
Let's get right on into it here at the Big Ten. And
10 miles, here we go.
And, well, the big story from last season for the Big Ten was putting two teams into the Final Four. That may happen again this year, but it may be two different teams. And I'd like to start at the very top with a team that a lot of people are calling preseason number one, or at least
Nebraska.
Top two or top three team in the country preseason. And that is a team we were just discussing, the Maryland Terrapins. And Joby, being an ACC guy, let me toss Maryland over to you because they are
exactly. Maryland is out. Tim Miles would probably win this conference if he had Melo Trimble as his player. Melo Trimble likely to be player of the year in the Big Ten. He is everything that everyone says he is. He is outstanding. I think Maryland, a lot of people are saying Maryland number one in the country to start the year. I'm not so sure about that. I think the loss of Des Wells will mean something. The loss of Samatrich, only 5 points a game, but he was a glue guy. We'll see. They have the freshman Stone coming in, the most famous transfer, but the Suleiman, is it subtraction by addition? He couldn't last under K at Duke. Maryland's going to be a great team this year. They are the odds-on favorite, but I'm not going to – a lot of people just want to cede the Big Ten to them. I don't think that's the case. The Big Ten is a deep conference, as it always is, and – you know, Maryland should be a very strong tournament team, a protected seed at a minimum, but let's hold on, you know, before anointing them, you know, a Final Four spot.
Well, John T., you're actually living not that far from Maryland's campus, the D.C. area. And it's not only Suleiman coming in, they've got a few other transfers coming in as well, I understand, that are going to be major factors this year. Do you agree with Joby that we need to not quite anoint them Big Ten champions yet?
Yes, unfortunately. I also, as much as I want to anoint Mello Trimble the Player of the Year, I think that Denzel Valentine and some others might have something to say about that. Turgeon's a solid coach. Now he's becoming an amazing recruiter. He got Suleiman from Duke. He brought in Robert Carter Jr. from Georgia Tech as a transfer. He was able to get Mello Trimble, who was a McDonald's All-American last year. He's got Diamond Stone coming in as a McDonald's All-American this year. So they really have things going in the right direction. I don't know if Carter and Suleiman alone are enough to take them from a good team to a Final Four team, but they can only help, and I love that they have a lot of veteran leadership to put around Stone. It's not that they're going to put it all on his enormous shoulders.
But I think they do have a lot of depth. I mean, you talk about guys like they've got a JC transfer here coming in, Jalen Brantley, who I think they're pretty high on as well. There's so many pieces here in Maryland, and that's what's scary, that they are just so loaded this year, even with Des Wells gone. John S., let me bring you in here on the Suleiman issue. Do you think that this is going to be maybe a subtraction more than an addition because of all the off-court stuff with him when he was at Duke?
Well, he's not a graduate transfer, so it's not like he's just entering their system this year, so he's had a little bit of time to practice and socialize with this team, so we'll have to see whether or not he's going to be ready for the upcoming year.
Those are awesome headphones that Joby's wearing.
Well, let's talk. If Maryland is not going to be the team winning the conference this year, in my opinion, I think it's going to be Indiana. David, do you agree with that?
It's hard for me to have faith in Indiana. I mean, I think Indiana is going to be really good, but I don't see them being as good as Maryland. I don't think I'm quite as big on the Hoosiers as some other people. And I don't know. I just don't have complete confidence in their coach. I think he's good. I don't think he's great. But I don't know. Well, it just seems odd that it's, I guess, like once the season starts and I see these teams play, but the last impression I had of Indiana didn't exactly scream top 10, top 15. And once I get past that, I realize that they're way more loaded this year than they were last year. I don't know if they're the best defensive team out there. I think that's going to hurt them a little bit. But I don't know. I have more questions about Indiana than most people, I think.
Well, let me throw back to John T. here on this Indiana issue. We just talked about Diamond Stone as being a freshman standout at Maryland. Indiana has one with Thomas Bryant. Are one of these kids the freshman of the year for the conference?
That would be a negative. I think that the rookie of the year is going to be a big man in the Big Ten. I suppose Thomas Bryant has a chance. My two picks would be Stone of Maryland. I heard he's dropped over 20 pounds since August, so he really seems to be taking it seriously. And then the guy I wasn't sure about, Caleb Swanigan of Purdue, he was ruled ineligible, or there were some eligibility questions earlier. I believe as of last week,
he's cleared.
Eligible. So yeah. I don't know how he fits in, though. Purdue already has a ton of big men, so I don't know how they're going to juggle that in the state of Indiana. But Bryant's got a chance, but my picks would be Stone or Swanigan.
That ruling actually just came out yesterday. I was just checking that Swanigan has been cleared for Purdue.
Yeah, he played on Saturday, by the way, in the exhibition against the closed scrimmage. He played against, I think it was Dayton.
Dayton.
Yeah, okay, thank you. He played. So not only is he cleared, he's playing.
Beyond these top two teams here with Maryland and Indiana, We may be going a little bit lower in terms of the conference standings this year, but we start off. I started off by mentioning that, you know, the big story with the Big Ten last year was putting two teams into the Final Four and one in the championship game in Wisconsin and Michigan State. Let's start with this Wisconsin team. In the national championship, they lost. They're the last team to have lost a game time-wise that you counted as we sit here right now. And Bo Ryan is coming back for his swan song here, his final season.
Maybe not.
But is this a season you want to go out on it as Bo Ryan? Because pretty much isn't everybody gone from this team?
Whiskey is they have a tendency to always be better. There are certain teams, and for years Gonzaga was one of them. For years Xavier was one of them. Not recently, but Wisconsin always, when you look at the preseason ranking, they always seem to finish higher than where they started. I wouldn't, just for that reason alone, and I have no, there's nothing I can really point to on this squad because they did lose so much. I still am almost, it's to the point now to where I expect Wisconsin to finish higher than where they start.
I think Nigel Hayes is the real deal. So I think losing Frank and all the outside shooting, but can Hayes carry this team is the question. I don't know the answer to that, but he will be putting, you know, you're talking about a potential guy who could rival Trimble just because so much will be put on his shoulders. He might be able to deliver. I'm not saying he will, but it's someone to watch because he is very athletic and strong. It's going to be pretty interesting to watch how he plays in that system this year.
Yeah. Just one more quick thing about Bo Ryan. The one thing he does better than just about anyone else in the country, minus maybe Frank Martin, is disagree with calls. It is fantastic to see him disagree with calls. It's one of my favorite things ever. It's destination television, so they got that going for them as well.
To just get back to Joby's point here, though, I mean, you've got this Wisconsin team. Frank Kaminsky averaged over 18 points a game. Sam Decker averaged almost 14 points a game. Travion Jackson is gone. Josh Gasser. I mean, there's so many pieces missing from last year. And, yeah, Nigel Hayes is a great player, but I don't even know that Wisconsin is going to be a tournament team this year. I'm not convinced yet until they show it to me on the court. I would not be surprised if this team finished 6th or 7th in the Big Ten.
So you finish, well, right now that would land them squarely in the top 25.
Well, okay, we'll get that to that in a second. That, yeah, right now, there are 6 top 25 teams in the Big Ten, but 6th or 7th in the conference is generally a bubble team.
Generally.
Yeah, well, Chad, I'd have to push back a little just because there is the Bo Ryan system. I mean, we got enamored with the outstanding names we all learned from Wisconsin last year, Frank being the highest on that list. But this, I think you will see a team, a reversion to the Wisconsin that we know so well. That means they're not going to be a Final Four team, most likely. They're going to be a great selection to maybe trip up early in March, who knows, like they've done in the past in some years. But I think you will see them being playing in March, and it won't be the NIT.
Well, let me turn to the other team that was in the Final Four then, Michigan State. Let me throw it over to John S. here. John, going into this season here with this Michigan State team, they made it to the Final Four as a 7 seed. They certainly weren't a pick heading into the tournament by many people to be there. How good are the Sparties going to be this year?
Well, they do have some talent that graduated and move on, but they'll still have Aaron Harris and Denzel Valentine, I guess, as their top two playmakers. They'll have a few tests early in the year. One will be on a neutral floor against Kansas, I believe, and they also go to the Wooden Legacy in Anaheim. So they'll have a tough start to the year, but it wouldn't surprise me if Michigan State were to finish somewhere around 500 in the conference and still wind up winning one or two games in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah,
I don't think Virginia has to worry about them this year.
they'll be the 12 seed that sneaks in as Virginia sinks to a 5, right?
Yeah, I could see Michigan State really struggling this year, and you know, ending up somewhere on the 8, 9, 10 line, and then advancing to the Final Four.
Well,
like they always seem to do.
Does anyone know the answer to this? I know Aaron Harris was suspended, got one of those indefinite suspensions for them because he had a drunk driving arrest over the summer. Is he going to be playing this season? Does anyone know that answer? I mean, at least at the start of the season.
Was he suspended by the school or by the coaching staff?
I thought it was by the coaching staff. John T., do you have...
Yeah.
You were shaking your head there.
Shaking my head that I don't know. It looks like they're heading off to Italy, so I think he gets to go with them for a little pasta, but I don't know if he's going to actually be on the court when he gets back.
Okay. We'll keep an eye on that. But let me throw this back out there to anybody. We did talk about Indiana and Maryland being teams with a shot to actually win the Big Ten. Is there a third team that could be in the top of the Big Ten discussion here?
Nebraska. They've got the league right where they want them. I mean, Tim Miles has everybody lured into a false sense of security, and I really think that we're going to see. I mean, the non-believers will be.
Can we get somebody with an answer that actually makes any sense here?
What are you talking about?
I would go about 50 or 60 miles down the road from East Lansing down to Ann Arbor. Michigan had some injury issues last year, but.
Some issues, yes.
Yeah, Michigan had some injuries, but actually, I mean, Michigan is one of these top 25 teams preseason from the Big Ten that we were discussing. You got Chris LeVert and Derek Walton Jr. healthy now, and I think the advantage of having those injuries last year is that these other kids got a lot of experience, and you throw the experience of the guys that were playing last year back with these guys healthy again. This could be a real dangerous Wolverines team this year.
Yes, and Michigan had some injuries, kind of like Grambling had some APR issues. But I really like this Michigan team. I liked them last year until they got so beat up. I really like Beilein. I think that they're going to come roaring back. And I think the top 25 ranking actually makes sense despite them struggling so much last year. I agree with it.
One other team that's up there preseason was a team that actually started out really slow last year but came on real strong, and you probably heard it from us first out of anybody ended up in the NCAA tournament. We started liking them, I think, mid-January, and they kept going. It was this Purdue team. Now they bring in Caleb Swanigan, who we already discussed. Let me throw this back over to John T. We were discussing this Purdue team a little bit earlier, but... maybe the biggest question for me with Purdue is who's going to play the point guard position for them?
That is a great question that I can't answer because that is the key. They have a huge front line. A.J. Hammonds is a senior. He had a double-double in the overtime loss to Cincinnati in the tournament. They have Isaac Haas, who's 7'2", the tallest player in school history. They bring in Swanigan, who, as we heard, is eligible and is playing. They got Vince Edwards on the wing. He had 14 in the loss to Cincinnati. So they have all the pieces around them. So hopefully they can find somebody to just pass the other guys the ball because they don't need a point guard to lead the team, just to manage the team. I like Matt Painter. He worked for Gene Cady. He's been an assistant to guys like Steve Lavin and Bruce Weber. He's played with Quanzo Martin. He's got a long history in the sport. So I think that they can do something. I don't think they're going to be like a top two team in the Big Ten. But I like them as like a top four team.
Chad, one of the reasons we really liked them last year is because we were smart and looked ahead at their schedule. And we saw, wow, there's a lot of winnable games. And they sure enough did exactly – it was one of those deals. Hey, you beat Minnesota. It was like, hey, these are winnable games and Purdue can make this run. We put our faith in them. We were rewarded with that faith. Well, I'm going to say the exact opposite this year.
Oh.
You know who their home and homes are? Maryland, Michigan, Wisconsin. Who are their road-only games? Illinois and Indiana. Basically every team we've named. I mean, they're going to have a tough time getting, you know, they don't get the double up with Tim Miles, as I remember. So
what do you mean?
A tough schedule.
And if they start off this year like they did last year, losing at home to Gardner-Webb in North Florida, I mean, that could be the end of the season for Purdue. So,
one of the good things for Purdue last year, they did sweep Indiana and also put the Hoosiers on the brink of the bubble last year. So there is that.
Well, John, let me stick with you here, John S. One other team that I think is definitely looking like a tournament caliber team heading into the season, although there's probably more questions about this team than maybe any other team in the Big Ten, is the Ohio State Buckeyes. Given that you are in Ohio there, what can you tell us about this Ohio State team coming to this season?
Well, there's going to be big shoes to fill with D'Angelo Russell moving on to the NBA draft as, what was it, the second pick? But Thad Matta is going to have, I think, what is it, 5 incoming freshmen that will all be vying for playing time. But Ohio State, they're still going to have a few other question marks to go along with the freshmen. So they could be NCAA tournament worthy. They could also be NIT. Maybe neither.
David, do you agree with him there about this Ohio State team?
I think so. I mean, it's the beginning of the season, and I hate to sound like a broken record. I have a lot more questions about them than answers. One of the things that was real noticeable about them last year was how much they struggled away from home. If they want to make the NCAA tournament this year, they really need to fix that.
And isn't that a tougher thing to do when you're have such a young team and such a tough conference as well?
Yeah, it definitely is. So, and what's their out-of-conference schedule? I mean, I've seen it. I don't think it's at all remarkable. It basically gives them very few opportunities, I think.
They play Virginia at home as part of the Big Ten and ACC Challenge. They also go to UConn this year and also play Kentucky on a neutral floor.
I stand corrected. That's pretty. That's swinging for the fences there.
Okay. And off that, you know, this is a team that I think will be better at the end of the year than they are at the beginning of the year. That is tough. I mean, I don't see how you beat it. That slate. I think 0-3 is very realistic playing those particular three teams in question.
Right. UConn, we'll get to them in the next podcast. They should be back this year. So that's not an easy game.
I'm kind of interested because our next podcast is going to be the Pac-12. Are we going to get
later?
Lee Delvecchio would be ecstatic to get out of the ACC and be in the Pac-12. So,
be an interesting move for the Pac-12, definitely. But let's kind of move on beyond. We've discussed 7 different teams here already, half of the conference. And let me throw it back over to John Titel. Let me back in here, John T. Is there anybody else in the conference that you're looking at as a NCAA tournament caliber team that we have not already discussed?
Nobody is really jumping out to me. If I had to pick somebody from last year who didn't make it, who might make the leap, I guess I could go with Minnesota. They got some decent talent. They have some good veterans. Schedule doesn't seem too bad. I believe the only big name teams are Clemson and Oklahoma State. But like Joey said, the conference is pretty loaded this year. And as much as Patinos have had a history of success in college basketball, I don't think this is Richard Deer for the tourney.
Well, I think I'm not going to agree with you there at all. I think while a certain Patino has had a lot of success, the Patino we're talking about in Minnesota has not. And they really lost their top 3 players off of last year. Andre Hollins, Maurice Walker. I just don't see this Minnesota team. In fact, I think this Minnesota team may be contending more for the bottom of the league than anywhere near the bubble. That's just my personal take on it. But let me throw it over to John S. Anybody else in the conference that you're looking at as a tournament team so that I can attack you as well?
Ironically, they're probably the most under-the-radar team in their own state when you consider who's gone to the NCAA tournament in recent memory. And that's the Iowa Hawkeyes, because they're behind Iowa State and, to some extent, Northern Iowa in the pecking order. But Iowa will have some tests early in the year. They go to the tournament in Orlando. They go to Iowa State and also host, I think, Florida State as part of the Big Ten ACC Challenge.
Yeah, and Iowa does have 4 starters back. I'll give you that. The one guy who's not back was their best player, Aaron White, but they do have 4 starters back. So
that forces players to develop, though. I mean, we've seen teams lose their best player before and come back as good or better. I like this Iowa team. I actually do.
Let me throw it over to Joby here.
I'm about to be castigated because I actually like Gulp, Illinois.
That's what I wanted you to discuss. Go ahead. Let's...
Yeah. I mean, they lost Rice. Okay, I get that. But they actually – look at the depth that this team is going to have. They have a good recruiting class. They have a bunch of good transfers coming in. They lost Tracy Abrams for the year last year.
And so, this year again.
Yeah.
He's caught again.
Is he gone for the whole season? I thought he might be back near the end of the year. It's just a big deal.
I had heard he was gone for the season.
Yeah, all right. And I think Illinois has, because of their depth, they weren't that far out of a bid last year. They were in the discussion in the final couple of weeks. I think, are they going to be a protected seed? No. But could they make it? Yeah, they need to win some games, but the Big Ten affords you the ability to win some games, to be able to get in, and I think they have the depth to do it on an occasion.
I got to ask a question. I think this team has three starters back, and I wouldn't be doing this if we didn't do it every year with some glimmer of hope. Is this the year it finally happens? Can it happen? Can Northwestern get in?
I'll give you the thumbs up, David. This is exactly where I wanted to go here.
I don't think it's a huge
stretch with what they have on their team, that if a few games go their way, that they could be on the bubble this year. I really, really like what Chris Collins is doing there, and I think he's going to get them there soon. Maybe not this year, but real soon.
Well, you know, it takes time to build a program. I mean, it takes about 90 years. And I think Northwestern is getting there.
Oh, boy. Well, let me throw it back over to John T. on this Northwestern team. Do you have any thoughts on whether there's on where this team is going?
I think they're going up. I'll give you that. The schedule is manageable. They do face the Tar Heels, which could be a long night. But
they win that game, we'll be talking a lot more about Northwestern. Exactly.
Hey, they might win that game. North Carolina might have to vacate that game. That could be a huge win for Northwestern.
It's also tough. Like, I assume that they were just gonna. That Collins was literally gonna drive around Chicago and say, "Hey, do you want to play for me? Hey, do you want to play for me?" He brought in Joey Van Zegren, who was born into the Netherlands. You've got Alex Ola, who I think is the best player on the team, from Romania. These guys can play, so I don't think they're bad choices. It just surprises me that he can't find any or sufficient local talent. He's got to literally go around the world to build his team.
Well, they're all going to DePaul, aren't they?
Oh. Yeah, DePaul is... Chicago State is out recruiting DePaul, I think. Are they in?
Anyway. There are three other teams left in the Big Ten we haven't discussed yet. David, let me give you your chance here. Nebraska.
Well, it's just greatness personified. I think the cosmos was created in 7 days, but if Tim Miles was doing it, it would have been done in about five. Nebraska, he brought them. I mean, they were in the NCAA tournament 2 years ago. I mean, due to some really bad luck and just really underhanded things. They were 5-13 in the league last year. Lost 9 of their last 10, but I think it was strategic. They're building, and it's going to be great. I don't see how anyone could pick anyone else to win the league, really.
But however, realistically, David, I think we're looking at a sub-500 year. This could be one of Tim Miles' worst seasons at Nebraska with not much back from last year.
Well, you know, they did lose to Incarnate Word last year, which was unfortunate. I think that's the first time a transitional team had beaten a ranked team. And Nebraska did not end up in the rankings since. Tim Miles did it when he was at North Dakota State. I think they beat Wisconsin and Marquette when he was there. So,
Joby, how about this Penn State team? Anything there worth discussing?
We've had discussions about, like, for instance, the ACC. How there are some dregs at the bottom of a conference. Well, the Big Ten is no different. And the thing that Penn State should really, really be thankful for is expansion, because that allows them to not finish last.
Yeah, exactly. And let me take the last team here that we haven't discussed. Back in January, the greatest win in Rutgers history at home, knocking off number 4 national championship game bound Wisconsin at home. We didn't win another game after that. We're still looking for our next win.
What?
But we beat Wisconsin at home the year they made the championship game. So,
and then mailed it in.
On that note, let's go through here with both. I want to find out from everybody how many Big Ten teams you think will make the field, and if you have any final thoughts about the Big Ten. And let me start with John T.
I will set the over-under at 6, and I think that the thing I'm going to focus on is just the state of Indiana. The Hoosiers really do have one of the best backcourts in the conference,
yeah,
and arguably like in the nation, I'm sorry to say. And I really think the Boilermakers have the best front courts in the conference, arguably. But the state of Indiana is really going to be rolling this year, I think.
So that'd be a heck of a team if we could, you know, create something like an IUPUI.
Yeah, like an IUPUI. Great right there.
John S.
I'm sold that there's probably going to be 6 teams out of the Big Ten, but there could be a 7th, depending on, let's say, Ohio State or Iowa or Illinois, if someone else comes out of the weeds this year.
And Joby.
I actually think it could be as high as 8.
Yeah.
But we're talking play-in game candidates in that case. But 7's, I think 7's extremely realistic from our little list we were discussing, everybody from Ohio State on up. Wisconsin is included. Mm-hmm.
And any final thoughts from you here, David?
Well, there are 14 teams in the conference. I do think all 14 will be playing in the Big Ten tournament come March. So, you know, there's that. I think it could be – I'd be less surprised by as many as 8 than I would be as few as 5. I don't see – I think it's at least going to be 6. This is a really good league. And I think that it's going to be one of those things where – they build up – each team has chances to prove themselves out of conference. I think a lot of them will. So they'll already be coming in the conference play with statement wins on their profile, and they'll just continue to elevate each other up. And I think the other thing is that they're just going to beat up on the bottom of the league, the Penn States, the Rutgers, and that's going to help distance themselves. I could see it be – I'm going to guess 7, but I'd be less surprised by 8 than I would be by 5 or 6.
Well, I think personally I'm on the 7 note also here, but I think that we could have 2 or 3 teams that just miss out, you know, top seeds of the NIT, bubble teams here. And like we mentioned earlier, I would not be shocked if we're talking Northwestern in the bubble in late February. Maybe not come March, but mid to late February, that they're still on our radar. And I'll just leave it at that. But for myself, John S., John T., Joby, and David, I want to thank everybody for tuning in. We'll be back again real soon with our next preview, which is going to be the Pac-12.